stuck her head into his office.
I am sorry, Major Commissar Zemyanin, but I'm afraid that...
My wife has called again and she wishes to speak with me.
Yes. She said to tell you that...
She stopped as the officer held up a weary hand.
Don't, sister comrade. I'm sure I can imagine what my dear Anya...
He gestured for her to leave, watching as she turned in the doorway. The material of her skirt stretched tight across the firm buttocks. Her muscular thighs slid down toward her polished boots. Zemyanin sat for a moment after the door had closed, allowing his sensual imagination to run on for a while, imagining himself locked in a sexual embrace on a soft feather mattress with Clerk Second Class Alisa Andreevna. But the vision faded with the certainty of how shrill his wife's voice would sound when he called. Grigory Zemyanin reached for the Bakelite phone, part of his mind still recalling the leader of the American guerrilla group, the man with a scarred face and a patch over his left eye. A face Zemyanin would never forget.
Close the bastard door!
No, leave it! Anyone out there could have an angle to put a bullet through someone going near it.
He looked sideways at Rick, who lay flattened against the wall of the long hallway, his bamboo cane just out of reach.
Rick, you all right? You hit?
No. I'm terrific. Terrific, Ryan. Great shape. Of course I'm not all right, you dumbass. I damn near turned my jockeys brown.
Sounds like he's okay, lover.
Doc was crouching at the bottom of the stairs.
I believe that the firearm sounded like something from my childhood.
How's that?
A musket, black powder, a percussion cap from the flatness.
The armorer glanced around at Ryan and nodded, the light from the half-open doorway glinting off his eyeglasses.
He's right. Not a modern blaster. Some old Kentucky musket, or whatever they call them over here.
Ryan had thought the sound of the gun, bursting at them from the snowy wilderness, had indicated a cap-and-ball kind of weapon. One round, the bullet ripping a long splinter of white wood from the leading edge of the door. They lay in the dim light for about 5 minutes, but there was no further shooting. No voice, no sound of movement. Trader had taught Ryan that the worst thing you could do when you suddenly found yourself under blaster fire was to start rushing around carelessly.
Chickens without heads. Think of a chicken scattering around a yard, blood gushing out the windpipe. Hold that in your mind, and it might, just might, stop you doing something real foolish one of these hot days.
Gesturing to the others to hold their positions, Ryan crawled toward the door, eased his good eye around it, and peered out into the stark morning light. The view was the same as it had been from the roof, just a little more limited. Snow lay everywhere, piled deep against the trunks of some of the trees. There was no sign of life.
Jack, cover the rear. Just look, don't shoot. JB, take the east. Christy, the west. Doc, go slow up the stairs and see what you can see from the second floor. Slow and easy.
How about me, Ryan?
Sit still, stay quiet, and keep a tight grip on your ass.
Ryan stayed where he was, watching the wilderness of trees scattered white. If it had been a shot from an antique musket, the chances were that the attacker was within 100 paces. Ryan had come across a beautifully preserved Sharps 50 caliber buffalo rifle a year or so ago. In the right hands, the weapon was capable of putting a man on his back from half a mile away. He waited for something to happen. They had cover in the house, although an assault by anything over a dozen might be tough to hold off. Was that one shot a warning? No, too close to Rick for that. It had been aimed to hit. To kill. Ryan caught a flicker of movement 100 paces away from the front of the house. An elbow, knee, or a shoulder. A dark triangle that showed for a splinter of a second, like the fin of a cruising shark amid the snowy billows. At the same moment, he heard Doc from the room directly above the main entrance.
A man with a long gun is moving slowly in a crouched position in a narrow draw, eastward.
The warning drew JB, snake silent, to Ryan's elbow.
Could be a trick. Bring us out while the others start blasting.
Doesn't feel like that to me, though. You?
Nope. You and I should go after him.
And Jack, too. Get him. Others watch the sides. Leave the rifles behind for them.
In less than 20 seconds, the three men were outside, picking their way through the drifted banks of snow.
East!
Ryan glanced once behind them and saw Christy on the second floor, framed by the broken casement, her arm pointing directly to where she could still see the escaping figure of their assailant. The bright morning sun danced off the vivid flames of her hair, making her an unmissable target if there were any more murderously inclined locals around.
Back trail?
Sure. Gotta be over. Yeah, down here.
The sniper's nest was unmistakable. A patch of trampled, muddied snow. A gnawed knuckle of what looked like a mutton bone. The spaced indentations of the elbows on the ridge, overlooking the front doors. The shape of the body, legs spread-eagled. A couple of steps away was a small area of yellow, smearing the white, where the man had taken a leak. Jack stopped, tossing his fine white hair from his eyes. He picked at something on the ground and held it up to show them. A blur of gray stained his long, pale finger.
Black powder. Fuckers got shaky hands.
Let's go.
Easy as tracking a war wag down a main street at high noon.
Though their prey was obviously trying to move cautiously and fast, the trail couldn't have been more obvious. From the blurring of the footmarks, it looked as if the man were dragging a bag of some sort behind him. It took only 6 or 7 minutes to close in on him. The man was stooped, scurrying along the narrow ditch with his musket slung across his shoulders. He was pulling a pile of furs, and he never once looked back. Jack gripped the butt of his pocket cannon, gesturing toward the hunched figure ahead. Ryan shook a warning finger. In a winter wasteland like this, food wasn't going to be easy to come by. If they could take the man alive, they might be able to somehow find out where the nearest vill lay. From the clumsy, halting gait of the man, it looked as if he were old, or maybe a crippled mutie. Either way, the three of them should be able to take him. They'd only been out of the shelter of the house for a few minutes, but Ryan could already feel the biting wind numbing the skin tight across his cheeks, making his eye water. Without better clothing, a man would soon lie down and sleep in such an iron cold. The three friends could only go in single file on the cramped path. If the man turned suddenly and had a good hand blaster, he could probably get an ace on the line at them. Ryan had his own pistol, the Sig Sauer P226, drawn and ready, finger on the trigger. They were only 30 yards behind, close enough to hear the fur-shrouded man grunting and mumbling to himself with the effort of heaving along his bundle. Then he paused and straightened. Ryan was half a heartbeat from chilling him with a bullet through the back of the skull, but the man hawked and spat a green ball of phlegm to the side of the trail. 20 yards. 15. And then the man turned. Without a moment's hesitation, Ryan shot at him. But the old man was already falling to the snow, dropping his bundle, hands reaching for the sky. Only Ryan's honed reflexes saved the stunted little figure from a 9mm bullet through the throat. Seeing, even as he fired, that the man was surrendering, Ryan was able to switch his aim higher, the shot singing harmlessly into the blue sky.
Fire blast! That was close.
Jack and JB had fanned out on either side as best they could, fighting for a footing in the deeper snow. The figure in front of them was lying face down, fists clenched, feet kicking up a storm of powdered white. Ryan cautiously stepped in closer, kicking the bundle of pelts out of the way. Jack took the far side, keeping the old man covered, while JB stayed back a few paces, watching carefully.
Is that Russian?
Could be. Can't recall having heard much Russian spoken. Only time was...
His mind leapt back to another frozen wasteland and conjured a short, stocky man with a pockmarked face and a long, drooping mustache, bald head under a fur cap that carried a single circle of silver. If he tried, the name would come back as well. The Rusky had introduced himself.
Was when?
The name slipped away. Zim something or other. The name would slide again into his memory when he